speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Have you ever seen a little sign on someone's desk that reads something like this? If you're looking for someone with a little authority around here, it's me. I have about as little authority as anyone. Well, maybe you've felt that way at times. But what about religion? Who has the authority in religion? I hope you'll think with me in the remaining time this afternoon as we talk about this most interesting and vital subject. One of the very last things Jesus said to mortals while he was on earth is found in Matthew 28, verse 18 through verse 20. There to his apostles he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." And with that authority he said, "Go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. He used a word that could also be translated authority when he said, "All power is given unto me." And then he gave that great commission. And that word, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, he was saying there's authority behind what I do. And authority, all authority, translated from the Greek word euxia, translated over 25 times by our English word authority. Some 60 times the word is translated power. And then there's another Greek word from which our word power comes, and that's dunamis. One of the most familiar places, perhaps, is Romans 1, verse 16, where Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the dunamis, it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And that word authority and power are synonymous. The man with authority is the man with the power. And the power is always manifested in the exercise of authority. And Jesus said he had all power, all authority in heaven and on earth. He had all the right to exercise authority that exists in religion. And outside of his authority, there is none for anyone else. Another popular word that we find in the Greek-English lexicon defines the word power as of choice, liberty of doing as one pleases, to leave or to have permission. So when Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount, the record tells us the reaction of the audience. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Matthew 7, verse 29. The authority with which Christ spoke was different from all others. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees quoted each other. They frequently appealed to some position of a former rabbi or some famous rabbi, or what he had said. They used sources for authority that were human sources, but Jesus never quoted any fallible source as the basis of authority in religion. Alexander Bruce, in the Expositor's Greek New Testament, wrote this: "The scribes spoke by authority, resting all they said on traditions of what had been said before. Jesus spoke with authority out of his own soul, with direct intuition of truth, and therefore to the answering soul of his hearers," unquote. Well, that's a fine assessment of the difference in human and divine authority. Divine authority can rest on its own intuition. Human authority has no such right. Jesus had an intuitive right to act and speak as God's only Son, as God's only spokesman to the world, and his authority was absolute. His authority was unique. There are a number of sources of authority recognized in the world. Some are worldwide in scope, some are civil in nature, some are domestic in expression, some are based on social or cultural development, But no true authority in religion exists except that which resides in eternal deity. The greatest authority is in Christ Jesus, the Son of the Almighty God. That authority resides permanently with Him. Now, there was certain authority that was delegated to the apostles, but no man or group of men today has a right to claim any of His divine authority. None has a right to claim to be special delegates of Christ to dispense His authority. The evangelist was told to rebuke, reprove, exhort with all authority, Titus 2, verse 15. And the word authority is from a word that's different. It means to rebuke by way of command or because we're commanded to do so. Jesus chose 12 ambassadors, special emissaries, to carry His authority throughout the whole wide world. He gave them the commission to preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16 and verse 15. And as we've noticed, the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. Christ left the earth to be exalted at the right hand of God. He left behind Him His own select group of preachers called apostles. They spoke only that which He authorized them to speak. They had no right to alter or change or dilute or pollute anything at all in His Word. They were told to go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So they spoke not with their own intuition, but they spoke by the authority of Christ. Jesus said directly to the apostles, "Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Matthew 16, 19. Well, in the modern language, Charles Williams' translation, it reads, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you forbid on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth must be that which is already permitted in heaven." Now that focuses on the verb, and it's the true meaning in the tense. This is what the psalmist wrote, "Thy word, O Lord, is settled forever in heaven." Psalms 119, verse 89. Now, a parallel passage to Matthew 16, 19 is John 20, verse 23. That verse reads, "Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Now the remission or the retention of sins is a divine prerogative. The apostles remitted sins by preaching the Word of God, and God set forth the conditions on which sins may be remitted. On the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts 2, sins were remitted and retained by the Lord through the preaching done by His chosen apostles. Of the thousands and thousands of Jews in Jerusalem, only 3,000 had their sins remitted. There's no way to estimate the total number of Jews who had returned to that city to celebrate the famous Feast of the Jews. But only around 3,000 responded to the preaching done by Peter. And he told them in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Verse 41 adds, "As many as gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Those who received the preaching gladly were baptized, and thus they enjoyed the remission of their sins. Those who did not gladly receive it were disobedient, and they had their sins retained. But the apostles are no longer with us on earth. So who do we look to now for our authority? Where will we find authority of Christ? How can we know what to do to have our sins remitted? We must recognize that right here is a very controversial point. It's at this point that the religious world is badly divided. Some claim that the Pope is the head of the church. He's the source of authority in spiritual affairs. Others look to the writing of some great leader and maybe the founder of a modern-day religion. Others look to various church manuals and creed books and disciplines and catechisms, and on it goes. And they have the writing of this man or this woman or this individual who claimed a revelation from God. Well, which one of these sources is the one that will lead a sincere person to Christ? All of them? Hardly. Conflicting doctrinal positions can never lead one to Christ. But is there one source that will lead a person to Christ? That will lead one to submit to His great authority? Friend, the answer is yes. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church at Corinth. In it, he warned, "If any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, that is, one guided by the Spirit directly, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. He also wrote, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work." 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. The written record we know as the Bible is the only word God ever committed to writing, and it's the sole source of authority in religion today. Our authority to act in religious affairs is limited to that which we find in the Bible. And the Bible reveals to us not only what God expects of us, but gives us examples and inferences as to how to do that which He commands. The Old Testament and the New Testament are both equally inspired, and yet the Old Testament required worship that was binding prior to Christ giving His life on the cross. In the Old Testament, people worshiped on the Sabbath. Christians today worship on Sunday, the first day of the week. Acts 20, verse 7. People under the Old Testament offered animal sacrifices. Christians offered themselves as living sacrifices. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And the Hebrew writer shows the difference when he said, "It's impossible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world," speaking of Christ, "He saith, Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second." Hebrews 10, 4 and verse 9. Well, friends, will you let the Bible be your source of authority? Will you be obedient to His will and do the things that are required of people today to be the children of God? If we can be of service to you in any way, please let us hear from you. Until the next time I come your way, I bid you a very pleasant good afternoon.